Welcome to MLB from CDA Baseball. I'm your host, James Morris. With me today is Campbell. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. Thank you, James.
Yeah, today's a part two of the trade deadline podcast episode. And we're going to talk about a lot of big trades. And number one is the biggest trade, I think, the biggest trade that's happened, I think, this entire year is Juan Soto has been traded to the San Diego Padres. Before we get into all of the Juan Soto and Josh Bell went to the Padres, but tell us what you think about that, Bill, and tell us what you really see from that whole trade.
If you've listened to the show or the podcast or one that I've been on, you'll know that I'm a Dodgers fan. So, yeah, when the Padres are kind of building a super team in our backyard, it's not. Doesn't really make me too happy, but because, I mean, especially a lot of Dodgers people really wanted Juan Soto, and he was saying it was his favorite ballpark, and we had Trey Turner, who's one of his good friends and everything. But I'm just kind of, like, scared for the future of the NL West, because I'm sure that the Padres are going to be running it from maybe this second half for a couple of years. I mean, they have, so what, now they have Machado, Tatis.
Hader.
Yeah, they have Hader. They have Cronenworth. Hopefully he can start getting a little bit better again. They have, who's their first base? Oh, yeah, now they have Josh Bell. They have Soto in the outfield. They have Grisham, who's not terrible. Yeah. I feel like they have a really good chance. Oh, and didn't they get Brandon Drury recently as well?
They did.
Something like that?
They did, yeah.
Yeah, now they have Drury as well.
Yeah.
I feel like this might be pretty a bit of a hot take, but I feel like they actually have a good chance to be another one of those teams that, like, score 1,000 runs full season. Like, the, I think it was 1999, or maybe it was 2000, that Cleveland Indians team. I think they might be the first to do it since then, because they just have some crazy offense.
100%. We, you know, lately we've been talking about the Dodgers. They have the best 40-man roster, and I honestly think it's now the Padres. So let's really dive deeper into this Juan Soto Josh Bell trade, and we'll just get into the basics and talk about what really happened. So according to MLB.com, Padres have acquired officially Juan Soto, right fielder Josh Bell, first baseman, and the Nationals have acquired first baseman Luke Voit, and a little bit of stuff with Eric Hosmer. We'll talk about that just a little bit later after this, but the Nationals have acquired first baseman Luke Voit, shortstop, top of the class. I mean, this guy is really
Abrams,
good.
Right?
Yeah, CJ Abrams, shortstop. Robert Haas III, number one prospect for the Padres, and I believe he's 11th in all of MLB. He's also an outfielder. James Wood, number three in the Padres farm system. Mackenzie Gore, a left-hander that might win Rookie of the Year. And Yarlin Susanna, number 14 for the Padres, also a right-handed pitcher. But what do you see through that, and who do you think won the trade?
I think this might be a little bit of a hot take, but I think actually the Nationals won that trade, because they tried re-signing Juan Soto. He just doesn't want to be there. It's not going to happen. He's young. He's like 23, 24. You want to re-sign a guy like that, generational talent, but if he doesn't want to stay, he doesn't want to stay. There's nothing you can do about it. Josh Bell, he's getting a little on the older side. He's about 30-ish. You could keep him for a couple more years, but who knows how good he'll be then. But now they're getting all these young guys, a couple of 19, 20-year-old prospects. Of course, that doesn't mean that they'll be good, but it doesn't mean that they're going to be bad either. They're getting CJ Abrams, who I think just needs to take some time to really adjust. It's just like when you get moved up to another level in the minor leagues. You usually start off a little slow, but you start heating up as the season rolls along.
Mm-hmm.
Gore, he was doing really good, but now, this past month, he's kind of slowed down, but that doesn't mean that he can't be bad in the future.
Yeah, for sure. And I honestly think you're 100% correct, because, I mean, Juan Soto and Josh Bell, you know, those guys are phenomenal players. All of those guys have been an all-star. But you're looking at Juan Soto's stats. 21 home runs, yes, that's amazing, but he's only batting .246. And his previous year, he batted .313. So his average obviously is not there. I mean, we all know he can hit for the average and the power and has a little bit of the stealing bases in him. But today's not hit this year, and I feel like the Nationals really think he can bounce back, which he probably will. But I think Juan Soto will bounce back, but I wouldn't trade like a big trade like that if he's having a bad year during that trade. But well, I mean, Josh Bell's having almost a better year than Juan Soto. Josh Bell's batting .301, 14 home runs, struck out tremendously less than Juan Soto. Yet obviously does not walk more as much than Juan Soto. That's a 91-40-49 split. But tell us what you see through Juan Soto and Josh Bell.
I think through Juan Soto and Josh Bell, I think this is really going to help the Padres for the next two or so years. Because I mean their World Series window is open now. The playoff window is open now, and if you don't get through it fast enough, it's going to close eventually. And for a team that's not really that good history-wise, I think they really need to take advantage of that and maybe sacrifice some of the future just to see if you can get a pennant or two, maybe get a ring or so.
Mm-hmm. And obviously the Nationals aren't contending this year, and I feel like with these big trades, they're easily can contend by maybe not quite by next year, but definitely the year after that, especially after seeing adding C.J. Abrams and then Robert Hassel, ZTA, I believe, is actually next year, and James Woods is as well. Mackenzie Gore is very solid, but I honestly think I would give the Nationals the dub on that one. I really think the Nationals did well, and now since there's been a lot of confusion with Eric Hosmer going to the Nationals, and we saw Pahina getting traded to the Red Sox. How much do you know about what happened with Eric Hosmer, but end up going with Luke Voit?
So, from what I know, Eric Hosmer, so he's a pretty high-profile player. He has a ring. He was really good. He's not as good anymore. But he got the respect from like general management to have a no-trade list, and Washington was on that list. So, but he was part of that trade. So he was supposed to go for Luke Voit, from what I understand. But since he didn't, Luke Voit went for him. Hold on, I've kind of lost my thought here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, no. So what I'm thinking. Actually, no. Wait, I'm not thinking. What was I just saying?
Here, this is what you might be saying. Eric Hosmer. Okay. He was supposed to go to the Nationals, and he ended up not wanting to go with the Nationals. I believe he said he did not want to be traded. He didn't want any part of that, and was unclear of how much the Padres would pay. So he protected himself from being traded. He turned it down and ended up getting traded to the Red Sox. I don't know if that brought back your thought, but thoughts on that.
Oh yeah, they totally. Thank you. But I for that whole ordeal with the Red Sox, I don't know how much that helps the Red Sox, or it might even be hurting them to have Eric Hosmer, because he's good, but he's not that good. Mm. And usually for a team like where you get someone like that who's definitely past his prime, not necessarily even replacement level anymore, but like is a good clubhouse presence, usually you take one of those guys just to like motivate the team and come in every once in a while, but not necessarily be an everyday starter. But the Red Sox won the World Series, it was 4 years ago, but that wasn't too long. They still have Rafi, Chris Sale, all those other guys who still remember that. They still all have the experience from that, so they don't really need Eric Hosmer to be the veteran role model, or just like to help him out for the future and really give him some pointers as to what to do and like control the emotions when it comes to playoff time.
Yeah, 100%. And you know, you're totally right when you said Eric Hosmer not having a career year. And I'm looking at his average, .272, solid average, right? But only 8 home runs. That's not at all you want from your veteran. And I really think the Red Sox are looking to replace They're maybe even who plays first base? Bobby Dalbec for the Red Sox? I don't remember, but
yeah, Dalbec.
I think what they're wanting to do is really put Eric Hosmer taking Bobby Dalbec's spot, and I don't think that can just happen. Dalbec is a solid player. I think yes, Hosmer is better defense, but his bat is not there like it used to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely not. But it does help. I'm pretty sure Dalbec is a righty, but it does always help to have another lefty just like on the bench, or just another lefty bat that'll hit in the lineup. Because the only lefties I know are Devers, JBJ, who's pretty terrible at the plate. He swings a wet noodle. And then Verdugo, who's good, but he's not superstar good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I you know, yeah, so neither is Eric Hosmer, but I think a lefty, he must hit righties, maybe he hits lefties. Oh, yeah, that's what it was. I'm pretty sure. They got a couple lefties who are going to righties, a couple of righties that can lefties, and I believe Eric Hosmer, I don't know if you can pull up those stats there, I don't know if what you have, but Eric Hosmer is a lefty, and I'm not mistaken, he hits righties somewhat well. But I guess we'll see, and you never know, because a lot of these players have bounced back years after they get traded, so.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's like what they say, he might just need a change of scenery, something different to look at, really raise his spirits or something.
For sure, yeah. So there's been an abundant amount of trades, and I don't know how much you want to talk about this, but I think I personally, since you're a Dodgers fan, I want to talk about the Joey Gallo trade and what you think about that. And before, I guess, just tell us the basics of the trade and what you think about it, and then we'll dive a little deeper.
So when I first saw that the Dodgers traded for Joey Gallo, I said out loud in a public space, I was like, what the heck? When in the world would we ever do this? But after I've had a couple hours to think about it, it's really actually starting to make sense to me now. So Joey Gallo, he hasn't been hitting for average. He hasn't been hitting basically at all. He has less hits than Aaron Judge has home runs. But another guy that the Dodgers added recently this past offseason was Freddie Freeman. And he's been really helping with, especially like Gavin Lux, he's been helping him hit, like helping him approach with hitting the ball the other way, and just a little bit of a change in approach. And I think Joey Gallo could really use that. You know, he's a lefty hitter as well. And if he can start getting back to Texas Joey Gallo, I think it'll be really good, especially with the not too good Dodgers outfield. Basically, the only good outfielder is Mookie Betts.
Mm-hmm.
Cody Bellinger is below replacement. His defense is basically the only thing that's keeping him on the team, and the fact that fans like him. And then Thompson's good, but he's not that good. Like, he's one of those guys that maybe you have for a year or two, and then you're like, all right, that's enough of you.
Okay, yeah. And I have Joey Gallo as one of those interesting players. You know, he's never hit for power, but he's always been low 200s, maybe mid 200s, 250, yeah. You know, all like that. And
you mean never hit for average?
Yeah, he's never hit for average. And
you said never hit for power there. I was like, pretty sure that's kind of the whole facet of his game.
That's, yeah, my mistake. He's hit 41 home runs 1 year, then the next year he's hit 40, and by then he's slowly gone down with home runs, and he had 22, then he went to 25, and you know, any team would take 25 home runs, but then all of a sudden 2021 with the Yankees, he batted 160 with 13 home runs, and now he's only batting 159. So why do you think he had that horrible stretch and still is in that stretch, but what do you think happened to him?
I think maybe, you know, he just comes to a team, doesn't do as good. That's regular and all, but you know, those Yankee fans, all the New Yorkers and everyone from Brooklyn and all around, they're pretty brutal to their players. And I actually saw a thing, a reporter was talking to Joey after he got traded, and he said He's like, oh yeah, I'm gonna have to have my ask my parents to come out and go clean out the apartment. And then it moved to the reporter asking if the Yankee fans ever notice him on the street, and he sounded pretty depressed, and he was like, oh, I don't go out on the streets anymore. And I don't know if that'd make me any more motivated to want to play and like want to do good. And I mean, I'm sure he wants to do better because he doesn't want to be criticized like that. But then when you don't do good, and in sport when you fail so much, when you don't do good, it just makes you so much more angry because you feel like all of those people are judging you every single time you swing and miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Clayton, so this is what the Dodgers got out of, or this is what the Yankees got for the Dodgers. They got this right-hander named Clayton Beater, and I don't have too much on him. I guess while I'm pulling up all his stats, tell us what you know about him.
Basically, all I know is that his name is Clayton Beater. I think he was 15th overall prospect for the Dodgers. Dodgers are pretty good at raising prospects, pretty good at raising pitchers just in general. But, I mean, he's not that important to us. We have so many pitchers. We can go get so many pitchers. We have so many still in the minor leagues. Because, I mean, yeah, Buehler's hurt, but he'll be back in, like, late August, early September. Dustin May's coming back soon. Anderson's doing really good. Heaney's doing really good. Kershaw's doing really good. Arias is doing not as good as last year, but he's not doing bad either. And all the rest of our guys are doing pretty above average, I'd say.
Yeah, for sure. So Clayton Beater, he's in Double A. He looks like a pretty promising pitcher through what I'm seeing, but he does have a 5.75 ERA. For the Double A Yankees, or now Dodgers, but I don't know. I mean, he strikes out a lot. In 51 and two-thirds innings, he struck out 88. So he strikes out a lot of batters. And maybe, I don't know what his ETA is, but he actually has never won a single game in the minors. So I think that's kind of funny. He was 0-9 in his career. But he has pitched 104 innings in his career, and he has struck out 166. So that is amazing. Wow. And so maybe he'll show some promising for you guys.
Can you pull up his case per nine? Do you have that available?
I do not. Let's see. Maybe. Sure. Case per nine. So his 15.33, 13.41 his first year.
15.33, you said, for K's per nine?
Yeah.
It's like better than Randy Johnson numbers.
That is amazing.
Do you know what his whip is?
His whip. 1.61.
Okay, yeah. So that's not nearly... That's good, but it's not like elite.
Yeah.
So, do you have his walks per nine? I think it should be listed as BB/9.
BB, how about BB/K? Would that work? Oh, no, BB/K, I find it.
Oh, yeah, what's...
6.110, so that's not... it's okay,
It's not too good.
Yeah.
I don't really know if the Yankees can help him too much, personally, because the Yankees... aren't quite as good as like developing pitchers as the Dodgers are. And I mean, he's getting all these strikeouts, but if the Dodgers can't make him like a sub 5 ERA minor league pitcher, then I don't know much the Yankees can do. Yeah. I mean, maybe their pitching coach or like some of the will have something, and like they'll see what's wrong and they'll help him with it, but I don't really know if the Yankees won that trade. I think that was the Dodgers win on that trade all the way, even though Gallo's kind of sucking.
Yeah, I think so too. And I don't know if Gallo will have a career year or whatever you want to call it with the Dodgers, but I sincerely think he will have a solid year. I feel like he'll have maybe 20 home runs, maybe 25. And I feel like if he can get around the 200 mark, he would be officially decent. I don't want to say good, but so I don't know. But what other trades are you looking at? I'm seeing, I mean, Russell Iglesias got traded, Tyler Mahle got traded. In my other podcast, I talk about the Trey Mancini, Luis Castillo, Jorge Lopez trade. If you want to talk about that, we can. But I don't know. Is there anything else? I mean, we can talk. We're going to talk a lot more. But what else do you see?
I mean, yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on. But what I've been noticing a lot of is the Phillies are finally realizing that, hey, maybe pitching is actually useful. Because they just got, or they traded for David Robertson earlier. He's a reliever. And then they just recently traded for Noah Syndergaard. And then they also traded for Raisel Iglesias, right? Or
yep.
No, that was the Braves, right?
Yes, it was. After losing Will Smith, they finally had to get a closer. So they got Raisel Iglesias.
Yeah.
Well, the Phillies ERA is pretty good. It's the ninth best in MLB.
Yeah.
But that, well, they're still not the best team in MLB, so they need to work on that.
Yeah, you still need a little bit more pitching. Maybe one decent starter and a good reliever. Because a good reliever will take you places.
Yeah.
You can get a good starter anywhere. Getting a good reliever, it's kind of rare.
That's a very good point, yeah. So here, let's talk about, you know, since we're on it, let's talk about the Raisel Iglesias trade. I've not heard that much at all about it. All I know is Will Smith got traded, and so the Braves get Raisel Iglesias, obviously. And this is not a good trade, in my opinion, at all. The Angels get this guy named Jesse Chavez. I believe he's a starter. He's okay. And they get this left-hand pitcher, Tucker Davidson, who I think his entire year he's at 2.5, 3.5 ERA. So, you know, decent relief pitcher, obviously. But Raisel Iglesias is an all-star. I mean, he gets 20, 30 saves every single year. So I definitely think the Braves got the better trade on this, and I think they realized after losing Will Smith, they have to get a legit closer if they really want to bounce back and even make the World Series again.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think that this is good for the Angels because the Angels also team terrible pitching. That's for the past like 10 years, that's the only thing they haven't been able to figure out. They'll go out and get hitters in the early 2010s, mid 2010s. I mean, they had Trout, they had Pujols, they went out and gave Josh Hamilton a lot of money. And the only one of them who seemed to work out is Mike Trout, of course, 3 MVPs, what should have been a fourth, with the rookie of the year 10 WAR season. But then Albert Pujols, he kind of sucked, and he couldn't help carry the offense. What's his name from the Rangers? I just said his name.
Josh Hamilton.
Yeah, Hamilton couldn't get it done, and then they spent all that money on hitters that now that they didn't have any pitching, and I mean now they're still kind of getting. They still don't really have either. The only good pitcher they have is Shohei Ohtani, and the only good hitter they have right now is Shohei Ohtani. But I think personally, I'd rather start getting pitching than start hitting, because to win the game, yeah, you have to score runs, but you have to score more runs than your opponent has, and if your opponents can't get runs, that makes it easier for your team to score more runs than your opponent.
Yeah, for sure. And yeah, I think Raisel Iglesias will help them, but I think that they definitely need the bat in there. But Austin Riley, he is their bat. I mean, they just re-signed Austin Riley to a extra contract. I don't know how much it was. Let me pull that up.
I think it was like some 10 years, $300 million, something crazy.
10 year, $212 million. Yeah, it is great. And includes a $20 million option for 2033. It's kind of weird to say, but he's an all-star. He's an MVP candidate, and he just kind of popped out of nowhere, honestly. I think what is his third year in MLB, and he's He's good. I think last year I labeled him as the most underrated baseball player of 2021. I think it was. But what do you think about this? Do you think this is good because the Braves could come back and have a bounce back year?
Yeah, I think that's actually not terrible. I don't know if they put any like opt outs in there or anything. If it was me, I'd probably put one in like the fifth or something year, or something around there.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that's good because I mean, and over the past 162 games, he's been putting up MVP numbers. He has like some 45 home runs, just amazing stats, and that's really a guy you want to keep, especially a good strong, like a good power hitting third baseman, a good third baseman for the future.
Yeah. So let's see. So tell me what you think about this whole trade deadline, and just talk about what you need to talk about on this whole trade deadline. What do you think about this whole thing?
I think that this is arguably the craziest trade deadline in the history of baseball.
Yeah.
You know, maybe not even arguably. I think this is the craziest trade deadline in the history of baseball.
You know what? I think that's very, very true. I think last year, the year before, it was kind of, you know, and
That was pretty crazy, pretty wild.
But
nothing like this. Nothing.
No. Mm-mm.
If there's one thing that I am surprised about, I'm surprised that Wilson Contreras and Ian Happ have not been traded yet. I really thought that they were good as gone.
Oh, that's a very... I totally forgot about them. It definitely, at least Wilson Contreras, for sure. Wow.
And I better not see the Padres pick up them both again as well.
Well, I think the that would be so funny. Wilson Contreras, Ian Happ, breaking news to the Padres.
Are you kidding me? They might break the run scored record.
Oh, would not surprise me. Let's see. So I see here the Jacob DeGrom had his rehab assignment, and the Thor just went to the
Phillies.
Yeah, so I think the Phillies finally got some pitching. You know, after losing Iglesias, and they lost Brandon Marsh, but I think they could be pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, Phillies. I'm excited for them. I'm really excited for a lot of teams that I really want to see succeed. You know.
Yeah, for sure. Who are you highest on? Like, who do you think is the most underrated baseball team right now?
Underrated team?
Yep.
Probably Miami Marlins.
Yeah? Tell us why.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. The Miami Marlins, not making it to the playoff this year. Definitely not. Have to be like a catastrophe in all the rest of the teams in the league for the Marlins to make it. But, I mean, they got a good future. They have Jazz. They have Garrett Cooper, who was an all-star. They have Alcantara, who might win the Cy Young. They have Pablo Lopez, who's doing really good.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about their farm system, but, I mean, they can't have, like, they can't have guys who are that bad. They've been doing so bad for so many years. They've got to get some at least good players.
Mm-hmm.
But I think maybe next 2-3 years we could see the Marlins in the playoffs.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I think without a doubt. And, you know, in 2020 they almost made it with their young talent. I think I really 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 like Sandy Alcantara, whatever his name is.
Alcantara.
I think he could be really, really good because not only does he have a location, but he throws 100 miles an hour gas and has a solid changeup. And I think he'd be really good because he's been in the league for a while. This is the second All-Star game he has attended, and I think he looks pretty good. And I think the Marlins could have, maybe not the next year, but definitely the year after that, they could have the best pitching staff in all of baseball if they really, really take their arm seriously and adjust.
I think the best pitching staff in all of baseball might be a bit of a stretch, but I think it's going to be up there. You know, maybe like top 8, top six-ish, somewhere around there.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I don't think anyone can beat DeGrom and Scherzer and Bassett all in one. But
yeah.
And also, I don't think no one can beat the Dodgers with Anderson, Gonsolin, and Kershaw, and all those guys. But I think we could talk about one last trade, and maybe a little more. Yeah, actually, we have every podcast we do stat and standing leaders. But we'll talk about the last trade. Who do you want to talk about? I think we can talk about something else. I'm going back and forth. We could do both of you want. Tyler Mallett and the Darren Ruff trade.
I completely forgot about them. So I don't think it's terrible. The Giants are getting someone good. The Reds are getting someone good. I mean, the Reds are getting a first baseman, and Joey Gallo's getting old, so it's reasonable. I mean, this might be his last season. Maybe he's got one or two more left in the tank, but I think it's good to get a good power hitting first baseman. Yeah, and then for the Giants, another good player for a struggling team. I think it was the right move to make. I think it was the right move.
Yeah,
for both teams.
Yeah, for sure. I sure hope so, at least for the Reds and the Giants. And so now we're going to talk about the stat and standing leaders like we do every single podcast. So just the teams are in first place in standings, first place in stats. But first, let's talk about the NL Central like we always do. Surprisingly here, in my opinion, surprisingly anyway. Okay, let me just say this first. The Cincinnati Reds are in third place. Isn't that strange?
That is... If you told me after the first 2-3 weeks of the season that the Cincinnati Reds would be in third place in the NL Central, I might have asked if you were dropped a couple too many times as a child, but it's crazy, man. They're really hitting their stride. It's good because that's another team that I like to see succeed. You know, you never like to see a team be that terrible.
Mm-hmm.
So to see them really come out of it is really nice.
Yeah, 42-61. They're in third place. If the Reds were in the AL East, they would be in last place by more than they would be 8 games out of the fourth place spot. So, that's just really funny. But anyway, first place for the NL Central, the Milwaukee Brewers. They are 57-45. They have released or just Josh Hader gone away in a trade, got Taylor Rogers. I talked about that last podcast. I think they're looking really, really good with that trade because you just acquired and you literally just swapped closers and added more. So I think the Brewers really executed well in that. But I really think the Brewers need more hitting. You only got Rowdy Tellez and you know a couple other guys that don't really hit for power to hit for 245 average. Rowdy Tellez is really only your power hitter, and I think if you get one more power hitter, I like Daniel Vogel back on the team, but I think they should have got Joey Gallo. Tell us what you think about the Brewers.
Brewers, good team, just great pitching, just tremendous pitching, but pretty much like you were saying, they just need more hitting. Because, I mean, yeah, they're still winning that many games because of, like I said, if your opponent's can't score runs, it makes it easier for you to score more runs than they can. But I mean, if you want to be an elite team, if you can score a lot of runs and not allow any runs, you're gonna win 100 games consistently.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And now the NL East. Not surprisingly.
Little thing that just popped into head. NL Central, the Cardinals. I just remember they traded for what's his name? They got rid of Bader.
Yeah, Bader to the Yankees.
They traded Bader to the Yankees, and then Jordan Montgomery came to the Cardinals. So it was a one for one.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think that's a good trade. I think it was pretty equal, pretty maybe one of those trades where there's not a winner and there's not a loser, which, I mean, fans of both teams, that's good, because you'd rather get a tie than lose.
Yeah. I haven't heard much about Jordan Montgomery. I'm here stats. I mean, he's 3-3, 3.69 ERA, which is solid, obviously, but I've not heard much about him. I guess if you know anything about him, please share.
I mean, he's just kind of been like all Yankee pitchers this year. He's been pretty good, pretty bounced back. And the Cardinals, I don't know how many pitchers they have. I don't know if they have really any pitchers at all. So getting more pitchers is always good. You can never have enough pitchers.
Yeah. Absolutely. I think the Cardinals, he's a starter, I believe, right?
I'm pretty sure, yeah.
Yeah, I think adding with, you know, that new guy, Andrew Pallante, for the Cardinals, and then Adam Wainwright having a good year, and then Dakota Hudson doing pretty good. Miles Michaelis needs some work, but that's honestly a solid starting five right there.
Yeah. It's a good starting five, yeah.
Yeah.
Especially for a team in a division race.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. And I'm really, really, really high on the Cardinals. I think that roster looks really, really good. I don't know. I mean, they're only 54-48 and 3 games out of first with +67 run differential, but still, I don't know. I think I see a lot of potential with the Cards.
Mm-hmm.
Now the NL...
Oh, you know,
go ahead.
Yeah. Another trade I just remembered about was Whit Merrifield. He went to the Blue Jays.
Yes, he did.
I think now that's a pretty scary outfield. You know, left field, Lourdes Gurriel, center field, George Springer, right field, Whit Merrifield. I think that's a all-around good outfield for a team that's in maybe the greatest division of all time.
Yeah, without a doubt. So let's see. So Whit Merrifield got traded from. I thought he looked really good in a Royals uniform, but they pulled a buzzer beater ahead of the trade deadline, just like what 20 minutes before the trade deadline ended, and Toronto sent their number 16 prospect, Samad Taylor, right hander Max Castillo, who recently impressed in his MLB debut. I believe he's a starter. To the Royals, and honestly, I think the Blue Jays scored really, really, really high on this one. Merrifield's an all-star. He steals, and he can hit for average, too.
Yeah. I think this might be a Blue Jays win. Maybe. Definitely a Blue Jays win, in my opinion.
Yeah, for sure. Let's see, so... I'm really high on Whit Merrifield. I think Whit Merrifield, he's getting, you know, really old, but he's still showing that sign of athleticism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, let's see. Is there any other trades?
From what I can remember, that's about it. But
yeah, same here. Oh, I totally missed this one. Frankie Montas gets traded from the A's to the Yankees.
Oh, yeah, him and someone else, right?
Lou Trevino.
Yeah. More to the Yankees.
Yep.
Not bad. I think that just lets them get rid of other pitchers that they have already to go get like hitters. Like they got Frankie Montas, so they could get rid of Jordan Montgomery and then go out and get Harrison Bader. He's going to be another good hitter for their outfield.
Yeah, that's actually really that's a good way to put it. And Athletics, obviously, they're not contending this year. They don't have the greatest farm system in the world, if I'm remembering correctly. And trading, I believe Lou Trevino is a reliever. I'm not for sure on that. Frankie Montas is a solid starter. But you got J.P. Sears and Cooper Bowman, a second baseman. Luis Medina, also a pitcher. And then Ken Waldchuk, I think is his name. I don't even know. A left-handed pitcher. And all those are guys. Most of those guys are young. And are looking pretty good. Also, the Yankees got Scott Efros, another reliever. So I think the Yankees and the Padres, possibly even the Blue Jays, are really looking for, this is our World Series year. We want to win the World Series this year, not in a couple of years.
I think for the A's is really good trade on them, because I mean basically everyone they have is terrible except for those two guys. Basically everyone was terrible, so it's good to get some guys just to, you know, build up the farm system, kind of get ready for the future, and maybe get a couple of above replacement level people.
Yeah, for sure. And you know what I realized? The Mets didn't make. I don't think they made any big trades here. So I don't know.
Not much into the Mets.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I don't blame them. They literally spent hundreds of millions of dollars on players they got in the offseason. But they are 65-37 first place in the NL East and plus 102 run differential. So I guess you can't get too much better than that, for sure.
Oh, you know what I just thought of? Harrison Bader. You know how he has like that long luscious hair, right?
Yeah.
What happens when he goes to New York and he has to shave it all off?
Oh boy.
He might look like a completely different person.
I don't think we would recognize him.
Oh no. The luscious locks, they'll be gone.
Facts.
Unfortunate.
Let's see. So we'll talk about your Dodgers, NL West.
Yeah.
I got a big question for you. This is kind of a question that sticks out a little bit. Are the Dodgers a World Series contending team in 2022? Be honest.
I feel like if the Dodgers aren't a World Series contending team, then I don't know. Of course they're a World Series contending team, but it might be a little bit harder this time. It might be like a four-way tie for who I think is going to win the World Series.
Yeah. I had the Dodgers winning it, so please help me. And you never guess. Well, I think I might have told you, but take a one wild guess. Who I had playing them in the World Series.
Oh, I think you said White Sox, right?
I did.
Yeah, that's not going too good for you.
No, my gosh, dude. Oh, they're literally 51-51. I think they were, like, predicted of, like, 90 wins even.
Uh-huh.
So.
It's really unfortunate for them.
And what I think is kind of strange, I was looking at their roster the other day, and it's really not that standing out. I think we all thought their young talent is now all veteran based, and they're like supposed to be really good. But I mean their roster, I mean Josh Harrison, I've never even heard of that guy. He's starting at second base. Johnny Cueto is one of their better pitchers right now. Adam Engel, the guy who used to play baseball, I don't know if he even still does, is starting the outfield. And Dylan Cease is having a great year. So is Tim Anderson. But Tim Anderson gets hurt like the wind blows. Yasmani Grandal is good. And Kendall Graveman's having a bad year. So no one... Everyone thought with all these relief pitching and all these young hitters, they're going to be this amazing, amazing. But nothing's really going with them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. Just nothing for them is clicking. I mean, they got their old manager, they got La Russa. It's just nothing is working for them right now.
Yeah.
And they really need to figure something out. I'm surprised they didn't make too many moves this deadline.
You know, that's a very, very good point. I thought for sure Ian Happ, you know, Jimenez is playing really well, but Robert isn't, and neither is Engel, so why not Happ? Huh.
Who knows?
Yeah,
maybe the Chicago White Sox thought, you know, maybe another 15 years of mediocrity would really, really do us good.
For real. Use that. For real. Yeah. The White Sox are understandably mediocre team, but not even. They're this team that seems so good from the outside, but honestly, they are not.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I know what you mean.
I'm at a loss of words right now.
It's like, oh, the White Sox? Let's look at all these guys they have. Oh, those guys are good. They should be winning plenty this year. And then you're like, well, what? They're not. all these randos are actually some of the guys who are having to play like do good. But they aren't. Oh man, that's unfortunate.
It's honestly like it's like a Triple A team in a way.
It's like a Triple A team having to play against the majors. Not good.
Yeah, it kind of is because their pitching is not good to say the least.
I mean, they got Cease, and that's about it.
And Galito, but Graveman's having a horrible year. Kelly's not having a great year. Hendricks is having. I think Hendricks is hurt. I've not heard anything about Hendricks, but
I don't even know how he made it to the All-Star game.
I have no clue, dude. Let's see. Okay, so back on topic with standings. First in the AL East is New York Yankees. 70 wins, 34 losses, and Aaron Judge is on streak to hit, what, 59, 60 home runs? Do you think he'll hit 60?
You know, I think he just might.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't that be something? That'd be so cool. I mean, that's by then, I think a lot more people will be starting watching baseball because Aaron Judge, the new hero of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
First in the AL Central, Minnesota Twins. They are 54-48, and they are in first place, gentlemen. That would make them pretty much third place in every single decision or every single division. About. And Carlos Correa. So I was looking at Carlos Correa and Jeremy Pena. You know, the rookie of the year for the Astros shortstops, and you know. Carlos Correa is going to get paid a lot of money. He's getting paid a lot of money. And Jeremy Pena is getting paid not a lot of money. And Jeremy Pena's splits with Carlos Correa is way better. And Carlos Correa is getting paid hundreds of millions to every year. Or not every year, but you know what I mean. And Jeremy Pena is this rookie who's... Not, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I think that's just a compliment to the Astros. Like, you just get a guy and then replace him with the other one. But I mean, the glove's still there for Correa. That's still great. I think if he can just get back into the groove for hitting. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, he wasn't really an elite hitter until, like, last year. But I think if he can really find his stroke again like he did last year, then he'll really be deserving, more deserving of all that money.
Yeah. Yep, for sure. And... You know, the Guardians, they're like the sneaky team that's like actually like they might get first place. They're only one game out, and I think they have a real shot.
If I'm not mistaken, the Guardians are actually in the wild card race right now.
Right? They are one game out.
Oh.
So, practically.
I mean, for a Guardians team, who everyone thought was going to be terrible, that's really good.
That, yeah, for sure. And we all thought they were going to be horrible. I mean, worse than, like, the Nationals and the Reds. And, you know, the Reds are in third place. I mean, okay, I'm no longer going to call the Reds a bad team until if they do make make the last place. Because they are...
I think...
Third place.
Reds, run-of-the-mill. Reds are a run-of-the-mill team, which is better than being a bad team.
Okay, I'll take that. Yeah, and I think the Orioles are the most interesting team in all of baseball. Well, no, I take that back. White Sox are. But the Orioles, it's so weird. They win like 52 games their entire season in 2021, and now they might make the playoffs. I mean, they just traded Trey Mancini, Ori Lopez. That's practically saying we're not going to make the playoffs this year.
Yeah.
We're
going
to try to make it the next year. But, I mean... Seriously though, they could make the playoffs. They're ahead of the Red Sox and, you know, the White Sox and all the Sox.
Total surprise. I think top three biggest surprises. If they're not number two or one, then I don't know what type of baseball you're watching. But
yeah, oh yeah,
for sure.
Do you think the Orioles will make the playoffs?
No.
No?
No.
Roster not good enough for you?
Nah.
Yeah.
Not making it.
Yeah, I
AL is too good.
Okay, so wait, who's gonna play first base for the Orioles with Trey Mancini gone?
Maybe they bring back Chris Davis so he can go over 2,000.
Oh yeah, oh yeah. Okay, let me check. Dude, literally, I recognize.
I don't know.
I recognize like
maybe. Maybe they bring up a prospect.
Maybe. Yo. Oh, Ryan Mountcastle.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and guess who picked up Brett Phillips?
Did he just get picked up?
Yeah, by the Orioles.
Oh, let's go.
So now the Orioles are going to make the playoffs.
Oh, yeah, no. With Brett Phillips, they're making the playoffs. For sure.
Easy. Oh, yeah.
It sucks that the Rays got rid of him.
I know.
He's such a fun player. It's funny, they came out with like special jerseys for him. It was like Brett Phillips jerseys, but they were like basketball jerseys, and it was all so fun and everything. And then the next day, he's like, oh, Brett Phillips got DFA'd.
It's literally annoying because Brett Phillips, his stats aren't bad, honestly.
What's his OPS plus right now?
I have to check.
Alright. Okay, well, good.
So, tell us what you think about, I don't know, tell us what you think about baseball.
Baseball right now, going to be a total madhouse. Just complete craziness for the last 2 months of this season, I'm telling you.
Okay.
It's going to be like, every day something you've never seen happen is going to happen, I'm sure.
I wish I could give you a high five virtually, Kimball. Okay, so I did find out why the Rays DFA'd him, but I have good news and bad news. They didn't DFA him, which I'm like, hey, okay, so the Rays didn't hate him. They traded him.
They just got rid of him?
Yeah.
They traded him?
Yep. Which I think is pretty cool. Brett Phillips' middle name is James, so that's... that's pretty good.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Little James Morris to go with you.
Brett Phillips, guys, he's only batting 147. So, I'm sorry, Brett, but, you know, you're just get above 168 so you can say you're better than Joey Gallo.
Brett Phillips, maybe if he didn't look like, what's his name? There's some chef guy who looks exactly like Brett Phillips. I bet you the chef could be playing better baseball.
Dude. No one's as funny as Brett Phillips, though.
No, just probably most fun player.
Oh, yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's awesome. But we're talking too much about Brett Phillips. He's awesome, but, I mean...
He kind of sucks.
He does. I'm sorry, Brett.
Hate to see it.
Same. Okay, so, last team. The Houston Oilers, the Houston Astros in the AL West. I really hope so bad that the Mariners will take that spot in first place.
Do you?
I do. I think Mariners, they took like half of the Reds roster.
I think I'm not going to be able to agree with you on that one. I think I'm going Astros all the way.
No, I think the Astros will be in first place. I just really hope the Astros will come in second. And I don't want them to win division, but I think they will.
Oh, yeah. I mean, they've got so many good guys. They've got Peña, they've got Altuve who doesn't stink, they've got Yordan. They just added like a lot of guys. I think they're going for their sixth straight ALCS.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right. I think they're going for another World Series, baby.
Okay. Whoa. Okay. I mean, they won the World Series, lost. They won in the World Series, won. They won the World Series, lost. They won the World Series, lost. They went like, oh my gosh, dude. Just if you're gonna go in it and you lose, just don't even try at this point. I mean, that was a joke. But Yordan Alvarez, probably besides Aaron Judge, I think he is the greatest If there wasn't such thing as Aaron Judge, I would call Jordan Alvarez the best power hitter in baseball.
If Aaron Judge wasn't hitting like 2001 Barry Bonds, I'd say that Jordan probably for MVP. Jordan's maybe the first designated hitter to ever win MVP.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah. Okay, so here.
But what I've been hearing out of a lot of people, though, is I've been hearing a lot of, oh, no, Shohei Ohtani's still going to win the MVP. No, he shouldn't.
No,
he's
should
not,
not
that good. He's good. He's not that good.
Thank you. Someone finally agrees with me. I will pull up his stats right now, people. Just because he's a two-way player, don't get me wrong, he is a great player, but just because he's a two-way player does not mean he should win the MVP. MVP does go for most valuable player. I thought I meant for
like, doesn't mean he should win it every single year, though.
Facts. I mean, his hitting is okay. He's batting .255.
He's hitting good, but he's not hitting amazing.
Yeah. I mean, he is probably the best. He's probably the craziest player I've ever seen. He's not the best pitcher. He's not the best hitter. He's the craziest player I've ever seen. Because he
doesn't deserve MVP.
No. Not, no. He does not. There's no way. I mean, last year, okay, come on. He did hit 46 home runs and he had like 2.5 ERA. Even that.
You win a unanimous MVP because, I mean, his hitting alone would have done it for
him. Yeah. Oh.
The pitching was really good. Hitting alone could have won him the MVP, but I think he needs to step it up if he wants to win another one. I think he has to have a tear of a second half if he wants to win MVP.
Yeah, for sure. And I think the Angels are lucky to have him. And I was getting, I don't know, I don't want to call it scared. I don't want to call it cautious. I don't know what you want to call it. But the Angels almost traded Shohei Ohtani. Before my mind blows up, yeah, tell us exactly what you think about that.
So, they got two superstars. They have Trout and Ohtani. Ohtani's going to be good no matter where he is. He's going to do good anyways. But I think with how good he is and how good he can be, like what he showed in his 2021, people are going to want him. Just want him so badly. So I think what you do is you trade him to a team that just wants everything. That don't give you the entire franchise for that one player. So I think you just take that and use all those players that they're giving you to build and have players that'll fit other positions. And I mean, Shohei Ohtani can be one of the better players at two different positions,
yeah,
like consistently. And they're so like vastly different. But
yeah,
I think you should just get a couple of other players that can just focus on one thing and cover more positions. Like maybe you get 6 or 7 players for Shohei Ohtani and then have them be good.
Yeah.
And maybe none of them will ever live up to what Shohei Ohtani did alone, but collectively, I'm sure they'll be much more valuable than Ohtani.
Oh, easy. And it's not like the Angels are going to be contending this year. And
no.
I mean, literally, just imagine in your mind what you could get out of Ohtani. You could get phenomenal players. They're out of Ohtani, you could get three amazing prospects just out of his pitching, and then out of his hitting's a whole different story. You know, so just think you could get 8, 9, 10 prospects with a guaranteed future in MLB. I mean, you have, and the Angels are not gonna. I think they want to hold on to Ohtani just because of their fan base. Their fan base loves Ohtani and Trout, but Trout gets hurt every day. I think if you trade Ohtani, your fan base might leave, but I think your fan base will come right back once you start making the playoffs after you trade Ohtani.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Okay.
For sure.
So.
Plus, I mean, Ohtani's leaving anyways. But by the time his contract's over, he's going.
Yeah.
Angels are not going to be able to pay him enough.
No, there's no way. There's no way they'll be able.
No one can pay him enough money to play on a team.
I mean, Juan Soto turned down a $440 million contract. I think Ohtani will turn down a $550 million contract.
Oh, maybe.
But, okay,
maybe.
So, now stat leaders. An average first is now taking the lead, Paul Goldschmidt. The MVP probable He's batting .332, and he has 20-something home runs, tons of ribbies, and he is a phenomenal player. And I think that's the number one reason why the Cardinals are having, I don't want to say career year, but a very solid year.
Yeah, you know, I can rock with that. I can get behind that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think he's doing good. I wouldn't be opposed to seeing him win an MVP, you know?
Yeah, I'm in awe with Paul Goldschmidt. He is this... Sorry, Paul, but you're very, very, very old, and you are very, 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 very good. Yeah, I'm honestly in awe. I'm in awe with him. That's what the Cardinals are. They're old play. They're an old team that plays like they're 24.
Like they're young.
Yes, and you know Yadier Molina. Obviously, he's probably the oldest player that ever played in MLB. And yes, he's hurt right now, but he's still solid.
I think he just got back today. Actually,
really? All right.
Yeah.
And then you got Adam Wainwright. Oh my gosh, he's like 42, and he's like, was he even an all-star? Because he was solid.
I don't think he was, but he was good.
Yeah, he was good. And then you got obviously Paul Goldschmidt, and then I'm missing one.
Arenado?
I'm counting Arenado. I don't know if that qualifies as
all. Pujols? Are you talking about?
Oh yeah, it's Pujols. Yep. I'm looking at this roster, and I feel like if they win the World Series, like the fans would just love them because this roster is. Yeah, this is gonna be weird, but this roster is lovable.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
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 No, I can get that.
Yeah. I don't know. Do you want to go right into Aaron Judge's stats, or do you want to hang on to Goldschmidt for a little bit?
I think I'm all good with Goldschmidt for now.
Okay. Aaron Judge.
And you know, we don't even have to talk about home run leader, Aaron Judge.
Okay, I'm just going to say this one thing about Aaron Judge. If Aaron Judge went 0-39, let me phrase that. If he didn't get a single hit from now on until the end of the season, I think he'll still win the MVP.
Really?
I mean, I do.
I think that might be a little too far, because, I mean, we still got a good 2 months left, but...
Yeah, I don't know. 93 RBIs, 43 home runs.
I mean, those are good MVP levels already, but I think with how good Yordan is doing and how much people like to just vote for Ohtani, I think he might still have to keep hitting homers.
That's
actually. Especially if he wants a lot of money because, you know, his contract's up this year.
Yeah.
But.
That's actually a good point because Ohtani. Oh, Ohtani! I want to vote for him. Ohtani's good, but no, he's not.
He smiles too much, so people like.
Yeah, Aaron. Yeah, okay. So we're gonna skip RBIs too because Aaron Judge has the most by a good portion. Stolen bases. I don't really care about stolen bases that much, but I mean first. John Birdie. He's a veteran guy who I didn't think had speed. John Birdie for the Marlins.
Never heard of John Birdie in my life.
Really?
No.
He's just this older guy for the Marlins. I believe he's a center fielder. And he's playing pretty well. Okay, let's go into pitching. ERA. First is like... It's like a Cardinals pitcher, Justin Verlander.
Huh. That's good.
1.81 ERA.
Verlander ages like wine. He ages like 5-1.
Yes, yeah.
Not bad.
A 1.81 ERA will get you the Cy Young. Well,
he might just be the oldest player to win a Cy Young.
You know what?
Just say.
Probably. And also, he's first with wins with 14 wins. But what I think is so weird. So Tony Gonsolin and Tommy Anderson. Those guys are runner-ups in wins. Tell me what you think about Tony Gonsolin and Tyler Anderson because those guys' the ERA is jumping up like higher and higher every single outing, but they're not getting any losses.
No. I think they're going to slow down a little bit. Not going to be as good. I don't think either of them are winning Cy Young.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I don't really think if the win column is too believable, because you can have a great pitcher, not great hitting. You got to score more runs than the opponent, and your guy can give up zero earned runs over nine innings, but your team can just hit so badly that you don't get any runs either. But those guys play for good teams who can get runs. So I think that the wins column is a little bit flawed.
I don't know if we even should bring up this wins column because it is so dumb. I mean, okay, so Hunter Green, he pitched a no-hitter. I bring this up every single time because I just can't believe it. Hunter Green literally pitched a no-hitter, literally, and he got the loss.
Yep.
So,
that's the win column for
you. Yeah, so I just got a notification on MLB.com saying the Padres have given up too much for Juan Soto.
Did you? You know what? I get with that.
Yeah. I guess we were.
Because, I mean, if they want Soto in the future, you're gonna have to pay like $1 billion in total for your entire team.
Well,
and that's billion with a B. So that's a lot of money right there.
I mean,
and you only have so deep of pockets.
Well, they got pretty deep pockets.
Yeah. I mean,
okay, so Juan Soto. So the first thing that jumped out at me on Juan Soto is, so he turned on a $440 million contract, and the first thing that popped on my head, well, he obviously doesn't want to be on the Nationals anymore. Watch the Padres sign him for, like, half of $440 million, because he obviously, for some reason, wanted to get away from a bad team. And turned down $440 million, and went to the Padres, who, you know, World Series contending team, easy, got Josh Hader and all those guys, and the Padres did give up a lot for him, and Juan Soto was not having a good year this year.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully he bounces back. Hopefully the Padres didn't waste all their future for him.
Yeah,
but they just might have.
Yeah,
they just might have. And I don't know if you can keep him for after his contract ends.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, they're already paying, like, Tatis and Machado, like, $500 million. He's going to want money. Hader's going to want money. All those other guys are going to want money. Can you pay them all?
That's a good point. Do they have enough money to re-sign Juan Soto? Absolutely. David, do they have enough money to re-sign Machado, Hader, Soto, Bell? No. No one does.
You just can't keep all those guys. It's not going to be sustainable. But these couple of years are going to be great.
Oh, yeah.
Padres fans, these couple of years are going to be wonderful.
I know you guys are so...
Couple years after that? Maybe not.
The Padres, I bet, are devastated in losing CJ Abrams, but most importantly, Mackenzie Gore.
I'm sure they're just so sad to have Juan Soto on their team instead of those guys. I'm sure they're just weeping. Just weeping.
Yeah, maybe. Okay, so most strikeouts in MLB as a pitcher is Corbin Burns. I kind of wrapped that. Let me say that a little slower. Most strikeouts in the MLB is Corbin Burns. I honestly thought Shane McClanahan would... Okay, sorry.
Regular.
Before we talk about Corbin Burns, why didn't Carlos Rodon get traded?
Actually, that's a good question. I think that the...
Here.
I think the Giants need more guys. They need more guys. They need to get more guys.
The Giants.
They don't need Rodon. They need more guys.
Yeah. So the Giants. If are they buying the team? Are they selling? Are they buy or selling team? And they just traded Darren Ruff, so that's saying they're selling team, but they're keeping Carlos Rodon, so that makes them think like they're a buying team.
I think they were trying to buy, and it just didn't work.
Really?
Just completely failed.
Well, I mean, you got Darren Ruff for like these three guys you never heard of. Yeah, and so yeah. Anyway, we have to wrap up this podcast because it's getting pretty long.
Yeah, it's getting kind of long, dude. Sorry.
No, it's my fault too. So last player, Josh Hader for the saves, 29 saves. Real quick, tell us what you think about Josh Hader and right behind him is Taylor Rogers.
Hader's good. Taylor Rogers also good. They got Smock. I think it's still a good trade. Still think it's pretty even for those two.
For sure. Yep. Well,
I was gonna say, I think saves are a little hard because your team has to be good enough to get you in a column to win games, but bad enough to make it close.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like the wins. I think it's kind of like the win statistic, you know.
It kind of is, yeah, for sure.
Well, more team dependent than pitcher dependent.
Yeah. Well. Let's see. I believe that's it, Campbell. Thank you for coming on to LMB from CDA podcast. And
Thank you for inviting me.
Everyone wanted me to give it a shout out to Lil L anyway. Thank you for joining, Campbell. And really appreciate you having coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, dude.
Yeah, and hopefully see you next time.
Hopefully.